You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. It is currently 12:32 a.m., so don't say we don't love you guys. Jeff and I, the good news about the game was that Jeff and I got to see each other and talk for a little while. The rest of the game, not so great. Dodgers were no hit. Cubs used four pitchers, combined no hitter. We'll get into all that, but yeah, Jeff, I forgot to let you lead in the intro.
Yeah, you know, the day started off so promising with us getting to see each other, and I got to see a few of our listeners. Joe Holt came down and saw me. Jacob Norling stopped me in the stands. A couple others. So yeah, a lot of fun, and then the game super duper sucked.
Yeah, not great. Unfortunately for me, the second time I've seen the Cubs throw a no-hitter against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. So maybe I'll just avoid Cubs games at Dodger Stadium from now on. We'll get into the no-hitter, you know, combined no-hitter with a lot of walks and just kind of not the legitimacy of it, but just, you know, us as baseball fans, how we think about it. And then we're going to talk about Jock Peterson and the Dodgers' classy move on their end. And then we'll talk a little bit about Dave Roberts and a couple of decisions that have been made. And just Dave Roberts in general, since everybody hates him right now. So we'll get into all that, but a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, so I think Jock Peterson was the last guy to get his ring. And a short little pregame ceremony. They played a highlight reel, and then Jock was presented his ring by Kershaw with Bellinger, Pollock, and somebody else there, Andrew Friedman, and somebody else, which was Kershaw. Cool, you know, I said Kershaw.
Oh, Bellinger, yeah.
Yeah, but either way, it was nice, you know, Jock Peterson's flesh-colored mustache notwithstanding. It was a cool little moment. It was good to see Jock. He's still the same old Jock, which is always good to see. The fans gave him a nice ovation. And then later on, we found out that the Dodgers also gave Champ Peterson a ring, which is pretty cool. He had been around the team. You know, he had given him speeches before in the past, and I'm sure last year at some points as well, or maybe not because of COVID. But he's been you know, a source of inspiration for the Dodgers in the past too. So that was cool to see. But yeah, Jock, I mean, we talked about when Jock left, and we've talked about Jock a lot in the past. But it was, you know, seeing all the moments again and just seeing Jock and getting his ring, it was a little emotional.
It was, yeah, it was really cool. You and I were also both at Puig's first game back when he came back with the Reds a couple years ago. And there were definitely some similarities. My daughter was with me at both of those games. But it's like, Puig might have been a better player than Jock, definitely more talented than Jock. Maybe didn't have better performances, but with Puig there was always that other stuff, and so this one was just pure joy. It was just, hey Jock, good to see you again, you know. And even Jock wasn't the perfect player, and I don't think he would ever pretend that he was, but he had so many big moments for the Dodgers and was so beloved and is just such a goofball that it was a lot of fun to see him, how excited he was to get his ring out in left field. You know, I sit near left field, and so he's every inning when he's playing catch warming up, he's, you know, talking with the fans, waving at the fans, dancing for the fans. Just, he seemed really happy to be back at Dodger Stadium. It was a lot of fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, he misses it, and you know, obviously we've missed him at times. His postseason stuff was probably the thing that stood out the most, which made us all remember him more fondly, especially going out with the ring, similar to Kike Hernandez. Whereas in regular season, they were very streaky and not always great hitters. But Jock hit enough home runs to make it worth it in regular season, and then had the, you know, we got into his postseason stats before, and similar with Kike, but Boston didn't come this year, so, you know, Kike would have got the same amount of love, I would imagine, as well from most of the fans. But yeah, it was cool to see, and yeah, like I said, I think that wraps up everyone that was going to come back and get rings. Because have we played the Marlins at home? I don't know. Well, I think they already gave Floro his ring anyway, so. Yeah, that's it. Oh, they already played the Marlins, so yeah, he got it. So yeah, I think that was the last guy. Yeah, good to see. And then, like I said, classy move on the Dodgers end, giving Champ a ring. Hopefully Champ and Albert Pujols got to interact and talk today, because we already know the connection they have. So yeah, just a good moment, and then ruined by the following 3.5 hours or so.
Yeah, I've been having this thought before we leave the Jock Peterson topic. I've been having this thought the last week or two. So now that Jock is a platoon player with the Cubs, we know the reason he left the Dodgers was because he wanted a chance to play every day. He wrote a really good article with what was the Players Tribune, wherever it was, talking about how when he puts Poppy to bed at night, he tells her to dream big or shoot for the stars or whatever it is. And his thought was, how can I tell that to my daughter if I except at age 28 or 29 or whatever, being a platoon player. I want a chance to play every day. So he got that chance, and the Cubs discovered the same thing the Dodgers discovered several years ago, which is that Jock can't hit lefties. So Jock, I think he has probably shot for the stars, dreamed big, and maybe accepted that he's a platoon player now on a one-year contract. Do you think there's any possibility of a Jock Dodgers reunion next year?
I do, based on the fact of what you just said, based on the fact of he loves LA, and then based on the fact of, yeah, it's just, you know, more fun over here that I'm sure the Dodgers would take him, and it wouldn't cost much. You know, we've already talked about AJ Pollock before, and he's still around a couple years, but not necessarily guaranteed to either make it through the rest of his contract or, you know, ever be good enough to be an everyday player again, or even be healthy enough to be an everyday player again. And as we'll talk about a little bit later, you know, Matt Beatty's kind of been a different type of player than we've seen in 2019 in general. So there might be, you know, conversations there. Edwin Rios coming off shoulder surgery, and he's not necessarily an outfielder. Chris Taylor will be a free agent, and he would definitely cost more than Jock. So there's going to be a lot of factors, and I definitely could see him coming back where, you know, they always say the grass isn't always greener, and maybe Jock saw that, and he could potentially come back.
Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if Jock played his whole career with the Dodgers except for the one season that Albert Pujols was a Dodger?
Yeah, that would be pretty funny. All right, that'll do it for the Jock Talk. We'll come back and talk about the no-hitter and just combine no-hitters in general. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long-cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. If you have someone that uses Chew, they should be or already have transitioned to Fully Loaded Chew. It tastes and feels just like traditional smokeless products, which makes it an easy transition away from traditional tobacco smokeless products. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Dodgers listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code Locked On. Just $1 and free shipping if you use the code Locked On at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew, fullyloadedchew.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can not only can bet on baseball or the Dodgers, but you can bet on all the other teams. You can bet on NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, the Euros, Copa America, all the soccer going on, all the other events going on. Go to BetOnline, check it out. They got pretty much everything you need. They got sign-up bonuses all the time. They got contests running all the time. They got a race book, a casino, or not a, yeah. a racetrack. I don't know. The courses, they got a casino, they got a bunch of other stuff. So make sure to get Obet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check it all out. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. And right now, with the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus at Bet Online. So head over to Bet Online, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. All right, Jeff, we are back, and like I said, Dodgers combined no-hitter. They walked eight times, which at first, through the first, like, five innings, I guess I, you know, I was talking to some friends and not the game, but I guess I hadn't fully focused. I didn't realize they were getting no-hit just because they had so much runners on in the first few innings. So not ideal there, obviously. But yeah, I guess, I don't know if you have anything specifically about this no hitter, then we'll transition into just combined no hitters in general.
Yeah. You know, this one, I was, when I was driving home back to my parents' house after the game, I was listening to the post game show as I sometimes do. And Dave Vasse said it was the third most walks in a no hitter. I think he must have misread some stat. I think what he meant was it was the third most in a combined no hitter. Because the two that he mentioned were the White Sox in 76 and the Orioles in 67. But you also had, there's been others. The one that stuck out of my mind, it was A.J. Burnett, who had walked nine guys, only struck out seven in his no-hitter through 129 pitches. And you mentioned Edwin Jackson, who I think walked eight and threw 149 pitches in his game. This one was just, yeah, you know, I guess on the bright side, now I can say I've been to a no-hitter. This is the first time I've ever been to a no-hitter live. It wasn't as much fun as I thought it would have been, you know? Turns out it sucks when it's your team getting no-hit.
Yeah, I've now seen a Dodgers normal no-hitter, Kershaw. I've seen a Dodgers combined no-hitter in Mexico against the Padres. I've seen the Dodgers get no-hit normally, Jake Arrieta, and now the Dodgers get hit combined no-hitter by the Cubs. And so I put out a tweet, not even thinking anything, because it was, I think when I put it out, it was the seventh inning, basically saying, like, you know, combined no-hitters are like fake. I didn't say like, I said are fake no-hitters. That's what makes this more annoying. If I would have known that somehow Cubs and Padre fans were going to find it and pick it up, I would have worded it better. I don't think they're fake no-hitters, like, per se. I think it doesn't feel like a real no-hitter. Like, when I, if I had, wait, no offense to you, but if this had been like the first no-hitter I've seen, I don't know. I feel like I got cheated from like what an actual no-hitter is. Like, you can say you've seen a no-hitter, but I still think you would be yearning for like a normal one-pitcher no-hitter. I don't know if that's how you feel.
It basically is, you know, at the end of the game, there's like, okay, how much do we celebrate? Who do we mob? They ended up mostly mobbing Wilson Contreras, I think, because he was the only one who was
Craig Kimbrough didn't even know it was a no-hitter.
Isn't that what Caleb Ferguson yeah, did for the Dodgers,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, if you don't know you're finishing off a no-hitter, I think there's a case to be made that maybe it's not quite as significant of an achievement. Obviously, as people pointed out to you, including people who basically have no business other than an obsession with the Dodgers to be commenting on it, the Dodgers ended with zero hits. It's definitely a no-hitter, but I still feel like the best pitching performance I've ever witnessed in person was when friggin' what's his name, guy who used to pitch for the Giants, Yusmeiro Petit, came within one out of a perfect game at a Giants Diamondbacks game I was at in San Francisco. Eric Chavez, with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning or top of the ninth inning, hit a line drive that Hunter Pence almost was able to catch, came within about 3 inches of catching it. And then Petit got the next out. So it was a one hitter, but he came within 3 inches of throwing a perfect game. Much better game than this one. This one, the Dodgers, you know, weren't even out of it until, you know, Contreras hit that two run homer. Then you're like, okay, well, maybe this isn't their night. But it was not a dominant performance by any means. It was just a performance in which Cubs pitchers had almost a whip of one, but somehow managed to allow zero hits. So, you know, it is what it is, and it sucks, but you're right. It's not as impressive as a real no-hitter.
When someone does a no-hitter, you know, they've gone through the lineup at least three times. So that, you know, that's impressive just by itself these days. You know, complete games are almost as impressive. these days as not as impressive a no-hitter, but combined games in general are just impressive these days the way things are. And then when you're, you know, getting late in the game, you know, I saw people trying to make the argument that seeing different, I don't know how, but seeing different pitchers would be like beneficial, or like combined no-hitters. It felt like somebody, that was one of the replies to my tweet, was somebody trying to make this the case that this was more legitimate than a normal no-hitter of just one pitcher, which, you know, no matter which way you write about it, that's not the case, at least how I feel. And then the other case is the seventh no-hitter in MLB this year, which we had got away from the no-hitter talk because they all happened earlier in the season, and then it kind of went away. Then the sticky stuff took over, and I feel like this is the first one post-sticky stuff. And yeah, I just wish it hadn't been the Dodgers. I wish they would have just got a hit. But I mean, even in those late, like, they weren't even close to getting hit. I mean, they were close in terms of exit velocity getting hits, but like, there wasn't even any crazy plays that the Cubs made. It was just kind of boring, I guess.
Yeah, it was. They had a couple line drives that were kind of right at guys or whatever. You know, Mookie getting picked off first obviously doesn't take away a hit, but it does take some pressure off the pitcher. So, you know, some of that stuff, they hit into some double plays that made things easier. Honestly, I would have been more impressed as far as pitching performance goes by a complete game shutout than, you know, a two hitter with two walks, I think, is more impressive. Yeah, one pitcher than what we saw tonight. You know, it does suck that the Dodgers lost again, fourth game in a row. It sucks that they didn't get any hits doing it. But, you know, the fact that they didn't know who to mob at the end of the game kind of tells you everything you need to know. And like you said in reply to your own tweet, you felt the same way about the Dodgers no-hitter in Mexico. You know, this isn't a sour grapes thing. This is, yeah, combined. You can tell Walker Buehler feels the same way about his no-hitter in Mexico. He said that he hopes to get an actual no-hitter sometime in his career. You know, you didn't allow any hits, and technically it's a no-hitter, but
I mean, can anyone, if there's people out there that can name every pitcher that threw in different combined no-hitters, then I like to meet them because that's impressive. So, and then the other part, you know, somebody found one of my old tweets and said, all I tweeted was, I've seen three no-hitters now, and I listed them. And then they said, oh, so you've only seen two no-hitters, which is, you know, based on the semantics of my tweet, I did say they are fake no-hitters. But I also don't write the rule book for MLB, so the legitimacy of the no-hitter in my eyes or how significant it is doesn't really matter. By definition, I've seen four no-hitters. And two of them sucked. Two of them weren't as legitimate, or weren't as, you know. I'm not going to ever tell anybody, oh, yeah, I saw a combined no-hitter. I'm going to tell everybody, oh, you know. Even if I hadn't seen Kershaw's, I would tell them, okay, well, I saw Arrieta's no-hitter. But I would never say, oh, I saw a combined no-hitter.
Yeah, although Arrieta's no-hitter should have been a one-hitter. Kike should have been a hit.
There wasn't review back then, right? So that's, if there was review, it might have not been a no-hitter.
Well, no, it wasn't. They called it an error on the second baseman or whatever.
I couldn't remember exactly what the...
Yeah, Kike hit the ball hard, and they called an error. But I think if Arrieta had already allowed a hit at that point, they would have given Kike a hit, but they didn't want to end the no-hitter on that. And in the end, yeah, it should have been a hit.
Yeah. But either way, no more no-hitter talk. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Dave Roberts. He's been getting a lot of slander lately, more than usual, I guess. We'll talk about his comments about Matt Beatty and just in general, and another decision about pinch hitters. Keep it locked on, Dodgers. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. With the odds not in your favor, why would you do it alone? Team up with Wealthfront instead. Get a Wealthfront investment account today and take your stocks to the moon. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy, and they have the right tools for every portfolio. They've been trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed right now for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. and all you need is just $500 to get started. But you can get all the way up to $5,000 manager free for life if you go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today. Built Bar, best tasting protein bar out there. I don't need to tell you that. You already know if you listen to this podcast. And if you don't know just by me telling you, and you don't know by your own personal tasting of a Built Bar, you need to fix that. You need to go to BuiltBar.com. You need to buy some Built Bars. They have a bunch of different flavors. They're all covered in chocolate. You know, honestly, everyone has a different preference. If you know that there's something you really like, then maybe get that. But they... I'm going to keep pushing this mix box. You get two of every flavor that they have currently. It's the best way to find out which one you like, and then you can come back and buy more of the other ones and not have to worry about flavors that you don't like. So go do that. They're always adding new flavors. They're always trying new flavors out. They're always, you know, changing things up. Built Bar has more than just Built Bars on their site as well. You can try. There's a like an amino thing for added to water. But go to BuiltBar.com. Play around with it. Find some stuff that you may like. They're good protein bars. They're high in protein, high in fiber, low in calories, low in sugars, low in carbs. Really nothing else you can ask for. So right now you can get 15% off with the code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. All right, Jeff. So, hey, Roberts. I've been on the slander train, just in general. Getting swept by the Padres. Lack of intensity that always gets brought up when the Dodgers struggle. And then he had some comments and some speculation by some people that he's not the biggest fan of Matt Beatty, you know, based on kind of what happened in 2020, what kind of happened earlier this year, based on comments of Roberts, who is a player's manager and doesn't really ever say disparaging remarks about his players. And it wasn't so much disparaging, but it was more honesty that Roberts doesn't have for everyone. They asked about Beatty's hit or Beatty's play in right field late in the game against the Padres on Wednesday, and he didn't make the play. And then after the game, Dave Roberts said that, I don't remember the exact quote, basically said, you know, Beatty could have made or should have made that play. Mookie would have made that play. And yeah, I guess it never occurred to me before. Then after the comments and I saw other people talking about the other things that I mentioned earlier, I guess I never really thought that maybe Matt Beatty is not Dave Roberts' favorite player.
Yeah, and I still don't see it. I mean, what Roberts said was Matt's doing his best, but Mookie probably makes that play, you know? But, I mean, Roberts was acknowledging Beatty doesn't play much right field. He even mentioned that at some point. You know, basically what Dave Roberts said is most of the same things I said in yesterday's episode of the podcast talking about it. And we know I love Matt Beatty. You know, I'm a big Matt Beatty fan. And, you know, the fact is Beatty was put in a position he doesn't play very often. And the ball found him. And unfortunately, he didn't quite find the ball. It happens. I don't see... I think you're right. Basically, it's not that Roberts threw Beatty under the bus. It was just honesty that we don't usually hear from Roberts. Roberts is usually loyal to a fault. And honestly, a lot of time it's to the consternation of some of these same people who are now talking about him throwing Beatty under the bus. People, you know, Roberts will give a non-answer or a, you know, I just liked him in that spot. I feel good about him there, whatever. And people get upset that Roberts can't call out a bad performance. And this wasn't even really calling out a bad performance. It was acknowledging Beatty was playing out of position because Mookie wasn't available and it cost the team. And for me, you know, I guess if you're looking for evidence, if you're starting from the conclusion that Roberts doesn't like Beatty and you're looking for evidence of that, you know, yeah, maybe that would make some of these non-pinch hitting situations make sense. You know, not starting any of the games against the Cubs in Chicago after he had had the big series in Milwaukee, et cetera, et cetera. You could make a case for that, but it really doesn't seem very likely to me because, you know, unless there's something we don't know about Matt Beatty, I don't know there's much not to like about him. He works hard. He plays a lot of positions, doesn't play any of them super well, but he's solid at first base, passable in left field, and, You know, I think he could be passable in right field if he was used to the angles. And he hits the ball well, you know, not maybe as consistently as everybody would like, but I don't see much not to like about Matt Beatty from a manager standpoint, unless, you know, there's things Roberts knows about, you know, what Beatty does at night or something.
I mean, the fact is Beatty's just kind of been in a weird spot. Came up 2019, was really hot, you know, kind of we thought that he could write that momentum in 2020. Obviously, 2020 was just a weird year in general. He didn't really get to play too much. He kind of fell out of favor early in the season, and they didn't have, you know, just like Gavin Lux and the other guys, they didn't have the time to let those guys find themselves or get spot starts here and there. They had to kind of run through and put the best lineup out there every single day, and he wasn't part of it. This year, there has been some, you know, questionable things, but yeah, I mean, I just don't see it on that part. You know, there's probably a greater conversation about Beatty in general when Seager comes back and when they decide what to do with Tsutsugo, especially since he's not hitting right now. But we'll save that for, you know, another time. But the other part, too, that we're going to talk about is Justin Turner had the day off on Thursday. It was a scheduled day off. But sometimes the Roberts mentioned scheduled day off, and he never says he's not available, but he kind of hints that he's not available. This one, a lot of the reports from the reporters, I'm not sure the exact wording that Roberts used, but was basically that he'd be available to pinch hit. And you would think in a game where the Dodgers are getting no hit, you know, even when they fell behind 4-0, you know, it's kind of get hard to think about scoring four runs when you don't have a hit. But even just the nature of not getting no hit, you would think Justin Turner would be the best bet to put in there and maybe try to break that up.
Yeah, you know, you'd think so. You look at the actual substitutions they made. They double switched Souza in for Pollock at one point when they changed pitchers, and Souza made sense there. I guess they could have brought Turner in and moved Taylor to left, and done the same double switch, but with JT instead. I wouldn't have minded seeing that. The only other real opportunity, you know, they pinch hit for the pitcher at the end of the game. The last part of the game was Will Smith pinch hitting. And, you know, you could see using Turner there, but honestly, Smith is probably as likely to get a hit there as Turner, or at least nearly as likely. Definitely not a slouch. It's not like they sent up, you know, DJ Peters or something. So, you know, there were possibilities. The one that really stuck out to me, and I understand why he didn't do it, but you let Albert Pujols bat against Craig Kimbrell. And, you know, when the Dodgers brought Albert Pujols in, what we talked about is the one thing he can still do is hit left-handed pitching. And instead, he played a whole game on Thursday night against a right-handed starter, and then struck out against one of the toughest right-handed relievers in baseball. And, you know, whether it's JT there or Beatty, you know, I understand why it's hard to pinch hit for a Hall of Famer, but it seemed to me like the chances would have been better with somebody other than Pujols taking that at bat.
And I'll add, you know, just for, even if he said JT's available to pinch hit, he might be, you know, just be saying that. You never want to say a guy's not available just for the other team's sake, you know, that whatever the gamesmanship there is. The other part is, I mean, not, you know, this is not a bad thing. I'm not going to say Dave Roberts doesn't care that they got no hit, but if you're going to go send Justin Turner up to bat just for the sake of not getting no hit or having a better chance of getting a hit when you're down 4-0, if it was 1-0, 2-0, maybe even 3-0. But at 4-0, you need a lot to happen. And to take JT off his feet just for one at-bat to potentially get a hit when you're kind of already going to lose the game, that also could factor in his decision. I know some people might not like that, but that's just the, you know, reality. You're playing 162-game season. It's still a loss, one loss in the loss column, whether you get no hit or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I 100% agree with you. And I agree with, if that was Robert's mindset, I agree with that. It doesn't matter to the Dodgers that they got no hit. If anything, you know, as our buddy Justin Hicken mentioned to us on Twitter DMs, maybe being no hit is something, you know, you would think that getting swept by the Padres would have lit that fire, but maybe immediately following up the getting swept by the Padres with getting no hit by a guy who throws as hard as I did as a freshman in high school, maybe that is going to to light something under them. And not that Roberts was rooting for the no-hitter at that point, but he definitely, there's no reason for a manager to play for a hit. Just like, in my opinion, there's no reason for a manager to play for a no-hitter on his own side. A win is a win. And in Buehler's last start, when Roberts said after the game that he was going to let Buehler go as long as he had the no-hitter going, I don't believe Dave Roberts when he says that. I understand why he said it after the fact. I don't believe that he would have let Walker Buehler throw 130 pitches to get a no-hitter, because he is playing for the long haul, and it is a good thing to say after the fact, but I don't have to believe that it's actually true, because Dave Roberts has always been one who manages for the long haul, to sometimes to the detriment of an individual game, and often to the detriment of the mental and emotional well-being of Dodgers Twitter.
Yeah, he definitely had a number in mind for Buehler, and, you know, the number was probably high enough for him to be able to say what he said, but realistically, you know, you're not going to push him over. When, like I said, 130 might have been a number, maybe even 120, 115, probably likely what that number was. So
I agree.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it, in general, you know, Dave Roberts is going to catch the flack. It's interesting that he catches the flack in a season after the Dodgers won a World Series. Some games based on decisions that he did make. And like you mentioned on yesterday's episode, you know, manager decisions, they're not quite a toss-up, but they're close enough to a toss-up sometimes where you just don't know what's going to happen. And when players don't execute, you know, the manager gets blamed most of the time before the player does. And when the player does execute, the player gets praised probably a little bit more than the manager would. So it's just, you're playing a losing game as a manager unless you win every single year, and nobody does that. So that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter saying he wonders if the players shake their heads at Dave Roberts' decisions sometimes. He said a lot of them don't make any sense. And I don't think this guy listens to our podcast, but if he is listening and he knows this is him, I encourage you to get a little self-awareness. I know you coach Little League, but I suspect that Dave Roberts might have some insights into managing a Major League Baseball team that you might not have. And to say a lot of his decisions don't make any sense, honestly, I can only think of one decision Dave Roberts has made that I am confident it was the wrong decision, and that was bringing Kershaw out for the eighth inning NLDS game 5 in 2019. Everything else, like you said, it's a game of margins, and you're hoping to make the decision that has a 55 or 60% chance of being successful, knowing that that still means 40 to 45% of the time, people are going to criticize you and say you're an idiot.
So hopefully the Dodgers can come back and, you know, just break out of it, at least win two of the next three games, split the series. We'll take that. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it. But Jeff, you got anything else before we head out?
Walker Buehler lost a game finally. First time in almost 2 years that Walker takes a loss. Had to come to an end sometime, but you know, I didn't want to see it in person.
Only took a no-hitter to make that happen. So I guess you know, props to Buehler for that. Thank y'all for listening. That'll do it for today's episode. We will be back on Monday to talk about the rest of the series. Hopefully a more positive episode. And yeah, we're here every weekday, Monday through Friday. Make sure to tell your friends, tell your family. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast if you haven't already done so. Yeah, just, you know, spread word of mouth. Like we said, we've fallen behind a little bit recently, but, you know, hot teams that haven't been that good in a while. And we're just kind of a steady, consistent train, I guess. So, but if you want to help the train get a little bit faster, go ahead and spread the word. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625 or send an email, LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Clippers are back in the game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all hard. Oh, heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!